Have not talked a lot of Browns as of yet today, but when Albert Breer joined us earlier this week, because we were going to do this yesterday, breaking news kind of got in the way of it. Albert had a very specific way of defining this iteration of the Cleveland Browns that I don't know jives with my expectations, but it might with yours.
I mean, it's almost like it gave everyone a shot in the arm. I think it's still a pretty talented roster. And is it too late? I don't know. You know, they're 2-6, so they would really, really need to get hot here to have a prayer of making the playoffs. But, I mean, some of the things we saw, they threw for over 300 yards. You know, Jameis has the big play at the end of the game. They get something out of Cedric Tillman that they haven't gotten before. You know, Jerry Jeudy has a chance to really develop with Jameis as his quarterback. Elijah Moore, you know what you've got him, and Njoku, and hopefully, like, Chubb will keep getting health. I don't know, man. Like, it looks like a dangerous team. Like, I don't know if I'd call them a good team right now, but definitely a dangerous team based on what we saw against Rams.
So that's an interesting idea, the Browns is a dangerous team. And I'll ask you just full out. Are you expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team going forward? Because I continue to go back to, like, anything more than Sunday was a lot of fun and the offense looked a lot better, and I'm excited to see if they can double that up. I think beyond that, because here's what I don't want to do. We clearly, for 7 weeks, beat the Browns to a pulp every single week. Because they didn't fulfill the expectations of, one, looking like a playoff team, two, winning, and at any point, looking like a cogent offense, or looking like they even had a plan, concepts of a plan of a cogent offense. And the reason why I bring that up is, I feel like everybody's jumping ahead and trying to use the win over the Ravens as some way to double back and be like, see, our expectations weren't wrong. One game versus 7 games. That's where I think we're at right now. I'm very excited. I'm so grateful for a win over the Ravens. And the biggest reason I'm grateful for that is I think the Browns have chances to win again. The thing that the first 7 games of the season beat out of me at a merciless, merciless pace was my thought that this team could contend and compete on Sundays. I think it was after the Raiders game that I flat out said, I'm not predicting the games anymore. And unlike sometimes people say, well, I don't want to pick the games because if we get wrong, you guys jam me up about it. I don't care about that. If I'm wrong about something, jam away. Guys, it's sports. Well, it's supposed to be fun. Talking about sports is not life or death. There are no consequences. This is just pure, unadulterated fun. It's like Halloween if you don't do anything illegal. It's just fun. Let's just have some fun here. But specific to this team, I stopped predicting that they were going to win. I stopped predicting the games because I stopped having faith in their ability to pull out a win. And by the way, I'm still not back to picking them. I'm not going to, and when I say that, what I mean is I'm not picking the games. I'm not doing it because I'm sick of weaponizing expectations. When they got to 1-6, we all had frank conversations, even with Deshaun's injury. Well, what does this mean? And the truth is, between a 1-6 start and a Herculean from Pittsburgh on, the first Pittsburgh game, November 21st, just almost impossible back end of the schedule. If they do it, it'll be so much fun. If they do it, it'll unfold in a way that none of us see coming. And we should, instead of trying to predict that's going to happen, we should just enjoy it. But we should also just enjoy where they are right now. Because we are playing consequence-free football. If they win, well, guys, it's fun to win. And at no point can any of us say it's not fun to win. Me likey winning, okay? And if they lose, well, it probably tells us that this team wasn't quite ready for what we wanted them to be, which is a consistent winner. And I think, listen, for fans, it makes a lot of sense. It makes sense when you jump the shark or when you get ahead of expectations. That's the best part about being a fan. One of the things that being in sports talk and paying far too much attention to sports and how they work, one of the things that gets beaten out of you really quickly is this concept of flights of fancy. And this idea of, well, they won one season, so they should win again. But like, as a fan, the best thing is unbridled hope. That kind of gets beat out of you when you do a show. That kind of gets beat out of you when you're when you have proximity to the teams themselves. So I'm not saying don't have hope. Best part of being a fan is unbridled hope. But you can enjoy what we're seeing on Sundays in lieu of a bigger sample size that will tell us who the Browns truly are. If they lose on Sunday, guys, it's going to suck. You're going to lose to Harbaugh again, which I think we've all had enough of losing to Harbaughs, whether it's Ohio State fans or Browns fans with Jim or John anytime you play them. But, like, I get this sense that there are a lot of people kind of waiting, right? And going into the season, I think I made this comparison with Spencer yesterday. There are a lot of people going into the season waiting, just waiting for Deshaun to have a good game or waiting for him to have a bad game. So whichever way you leaned, whatever that game was confirmation bias. So as the guy who was trying to be Switzerland at the end of Watson Wars, it was untenable. If you said the guy had a better game than the last week, you somehow got mobbed. If you said he had an awful game, you somehow got mobbed. We don't have to have those conversations anymore. And the difference here, by the way, is with Deshaun, one good game really wasn't enough. Deshaun needed to stack 4, 5, 6 good games in a row for anybody to start being converted about Deshaun, or even the more optimistic people believing that Deshaun finally would show up. We don't have to worry about that because we're starting from a clean... The beauty of having your season declared over on October 21st. One, they still play games, so it's not really over. It was a premature deadline we all put there. Right, there's still, as long as they're games, there's still hope. As long as you haven't been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, there's still hope. But two, is it allowed the Browns to basically reboot the season? And you rebooted it with Jameis as the quarterback, with Ken Dorsey as the play caller, hopefully with DeJuan Jones as the left tackle, and a myriad of little changes around that. So this game should not, under any circumstances, completely change the way we feel about the Cleveland Browns. It's going to some degree, because if you go to 2-7, math does start to math real hard on you. But when it comes to what the Baltimore game represented, the rare in-season fresh start, that's still here. Like the let's have fun thing, I think that's where we should be. We haven't, when I say we, I mean this Browns team has not earned the right to have expectations for it. I don't mean that in a cruel way. What I mean is they're 1-0 post Deshaun. That's not enough for me to say Super Bowl, Super Browns. It's not enough for me to say this is a completely different team. The energy looked different. It was a lot of fun, and you beat Baltimore, which is like 2 wins. It's not. It only counts for 1, but it feels like a million wins at once because bleep that town, bleep those people. And by the way, to these jackasses that every year try and make Art Modell a Hall of Famer, go away. I don't care you like the man, okay? I understand the historical significance. It'd be really hard to own a football team for 40 years and not have some impact on the NFL. Stop putting him in the Hall of Fame. Stop trying it. All right, turn your gears to players who've earned it, like Clay Matthews. I must say, Clay Matthews Jr. Yeah, because Clay Matthews, we just saw, was Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews Jr. Put it for players who put their neck and back and knees on the line, who have somehow been forgotten because they didn't play on the right team or they weren't in a Super Bowl. Don't put it on a bad businessman who ripped the heart out of a town because he happened to put him in a place where you like it. Oh, and by the way, he sold it to a guy who actually made the team successful. I blacked out. But getting back to the Browns, we shouldn't have expectations because expectations can be the enemy of happiness if this team isn't quite ready to match them, if this team isn't quite ready to meet them. I don't know who they are. So, like, even setting this team, when I threw this out there, 216-474-0092, are you expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team? I think this team has the talent to play spoiler. Even if you subtract Za'Darius, even if you subtract a Greg Newsom, even if you subtract one of the guys that I think is the core, like a guy like David Njoku, wouldn't do it, but I understand the idea behind it. I wouldn't really support subtracting Wyatt Teller, but I understand the idea behind it. Even if you do that, I think you have enough talent, as long as they're healthy. Which right now they're not healthy. JOK's out. Denzel, it's hard to see Denzel playing. But if you have a modicum of health, I don't know that you're going to beat enough teams like Pittsburgh twice or Denver or Kansas City or the Bengals again. You lost to them the first time. If you beat them in late in the season, Miami, like Baltimore, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. Meaning win enough games to truly, truly, truly put this thing back on the map and make them a playoff team. And my fear is 8-9 doesn't get you any closer to the playoffs, nor does it get you any closer to getting a franchise quarterback. And that's the fun of the regular season, is going to make it tougher in the offseason to get where you need to be, which is to be a consistent playoff contender and be able to compete every single year. This franchise needs stabilized. And the only way you stabilize is if you stabilize the quarterback position, but that's for another day. Today, I think they absolutely have enough talent to be a dangerous team. I absolutely think they have enough talent to be a spoiler. I don't know they have enough talent, and I don't know they have the right road ahead to be a playoff team, but I think they can be a dangerous team. But you got to start with a win over the Chargers. As much as I want them to be a dangerous team, you got to start with the Chargers. And I think there are some people taking it to the bank that you're just going to roll up to the stadium on Sunday and you're just going to put the boots to the Chargers and the narrative is going to change. That is a bridge too far. The road to being a dangerous team, though, starts on Sunday. 216-474-0092. Are the Browns, are you personally expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team? That doesn't mean a playoff team, but a team that at the very worst can be a spoiler for several teams down the stretch. More on that in Halloween. Next on 92.3 The Fan.